Well, take a look at your notes today. Today, we're going to continue the series in which we have been doing spiritual examinations. And today, we're on examination 6, and it's regarding a checkup on our talking, on our speech. And you know, the last time I gave a sermon on speech was like about almost 3 years ago, and the Holy Spirit said, "Ben, it's time again." Because we know our words can truly impact our spiritual lives. If we're not careful with our words, guess what? It will affect your relationship with God and the people around you. And I gotta tell you, I remember on the first day of high school, that was years ago, I went to this all-boys Catholic school here in Hawaii, and I remember feeling like a big man on campus, because after all, I'm no longer in intermediate school, I'm in high school now. And I think every freshman student felt the same way. They had a cocky attitude to match their big heads, if you know what I mean. And you know, so much so that one student, I remember, he sassed one of the teachers in the classroom, and he slipped a profane word out of his mouth as he was saying something to the teacher. Next thing we knew, the teacher grabbed him by the arm and pulled him outside, and they were gone for like a few seconds, and suddenly the teacher started yelling at the top of his lungs to this student, "Who do you think you are? Don't you ever dare talk to me like that again!" And I was, I mean, yelling full on, and everybody was looking at each other. Ah. And you know, the student came back. I remember he had kind of like tears in his eyes, and suddenly he didn't feel so big anymore, and none of us felt big anymore, and we're going, wow. And I think for most of us in this room, we can probably admit, we can acknowledge the fact that there were times in our lives in which we said something that we regretted and wish we can take back our words. But in some situations, we know we can't, because it's already been said, it's already been done, the hurt has been made. And now we're going, oh no. And now we've got to endure through a period of hardship and pain. You guys know what I'm talking about? Oh man, why did I say that? And you know what Jesus said to us? We got to take our words very seriously. And he says this in Matthew 12:36. It's in your notes. He says here, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every," what? "Idle word that you speak." And you know, when I first read this, I really wasn't sure what Jesus meant by the word idle. So I decided to look it up in the dictionary. And the word idle is defined as to spend time doing nothing, or to operate a car engine while the car is not moving. And I still didn't get a clear understanding, not until the Holy Spirit showed me to simply substitute some words. And basically, now the sentence becomes, operate, instead of your engine, your car engine, operate your mouth while your body is not moving. Then I go, oh, I get it. It's for the person who is all talk, right? Because sometimes what comes out of our mouth can be noisy like an engine, right? It's noisier sometimes, and there's no action. We do all the talking, but nothing happens. And let's continue to read on in verse 37. It says, Jesus says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now some of you may be thinking, whoa, Pastor, what does this mean? Does this also apply to all Christian believers? Because if it does, I'm doomed. Because sometimes I don't say nice words, I say pretty mean words. And some people have the misunderstanding that because of our words, there's one day we're going to stand before Jesus, right? And we're going to lose our salvation and be condemned to eternal death because we said some really bad things. But you know what? If you really look at this verse in context, you look at a few verses up, we find that Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. You know, Pharisees are the teachers of the law. And you got to understand, they didn't have a genuine love for God in their hearts, because Jesus was telling them, hey, you really don't know me. And Jesus, in these verses, was sharply rebuking them. Look what he says in verse 34. It's not in your notes, but I'm going to read it to you. Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, you hypocrites, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So what is Jesus saying to them then? He's saying, only your words can save you. That's what he's saying to them. But he's telling them, since you only have evil in your hearts, no good can come out of your mouth. So you know what? You're already condemned. You see that? You're already condemned because you have evil in your heart. And it shows by the words that you speak. Now before you go, oh, phew, I'm off the hook then. You got to understand, we're going to stand before Jesus one day and we still may have to give an account of all the words that are spoken. But it has nothing to do with the very fact of whether we're going to be saved or not, because we're already saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved by our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's evident in how we live our lives. So what does it mean then? We got to realize that sometimes our words, because sometimes we let our mouth go, our words can speak nasty words, can speak mean words, and we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Would you want to stand before our Lord God, knowing that we're already saved, but the very fact that we said some things, we grieve our Father God. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we ought to give careful thought concerning the words we use, because it's imperative that our speech be in line with God's standards. He calls us to have speech that are edifying, that will build someone up, not shut them down. And we got to realize it's not so much what we say sometimes, it's how we say it. And I want to show you this video and let you realize, hey, this happens at a very young age. Benson, can you go ahead and roll that video? About it, but we kind of realize, can't we be like that sometimes? No, you're disrespecting me! And we say things that we chew each other out, and guess what? We're not at peace. We lose the joy. And we gotta understand that, you know, if we have Jesus Christ in us, we gotta be forgiving. We gotta say, you know what? It's okay. I'm not gonna let this affect me. Don't let words crush you. Amen? Because I gotta tell you, it destroys a lot of relationships when especially we just take it all in and we allow it to just eat us up alive, if you know what I mean. But we gotta realize there are different types of talkers. And look at letter A here. The irreverent talker. And basically these are people who misuse the Lord's name. In Exodus 27, it tells us here in your notes, it says, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Let me say that again. He will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. And basically what that means is you have this attitude of not respecting the name of the Lord. You have an insincere respect of our Lord God's name. And we can be guilty of this in two ways. Using the Lord's name in a swearing or cursing type of way. And you know how it is, right? When you use the name of the Lord with that D word. You know, D-A-M, and I don't want to say it. But, you know, a lot of people do that. You hear it, don't you? You know, especially if you know, someone who's not a believer, right? You got a hammer and they hit their thumb instead of the head and nail, they'll say, you know, that phrase. Or using vain repetitions of his name carelessly, you know, for the person says, oh, God, right? Or is it Jesus? I mean, it's said in a way that you're almost blaming God. It's your fault, Lord. Why did you let this happen? You know, that is using the name of our Lord God in vain. And we got to be careful because sometimes it just comes out and we go, oh, why did I say that? But, you know, we got to repent of that. You know, it also applies to the name of Jesus because his name is to be held in great honor. Look what it says here in Philippians 2, 9 to 11. It says, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. His highest name ever. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you know, for some people, it is common for them to just blaspheme the name of the Lord on a daily basis. They have no remorse about this. You know, especially in entertainment, you can hear God's name used in vain numerous times, especially in movies and even on TV. You guys probably heard of this latest movie by Leonardo DiCaprio. I never watch it. I will never watch it. But it's called The Wolf of Wall Street. And it seemed to pride itself that it broke the world record of using expletives in the movie. Did you know 600 times there were expletive words used in the movie? Every 20 seconds, there was a cuss word or curse word. Every 21 seconds now. And this is like a three-hour movie. Unreal, yeah? And they blasphemed God's name 28 times. 28 times. In this movie. And this movie grossed over $116 million worldwide. I tell you, if you're a believer, don't even think about watching a movie like this because it'll fill your heart with the filth of the world. There's words that will just really make your heart impure. And so we got to stay away from things like that and realize this is displeasing to God because the Word of God says you will not be left unpunished if you use His name in vain. That's what the Word of God says. Well, letter B here, the next type of talker is the evil talker. And it's for the person who speaks words that are evil. So write in that blank. Evil. Okay? And the first one is the person that lies. And in 1 Peter 3:10, look what it says here. It says, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling what? Lies. And some people, they can say, oh, I lie all the time. I don't see anything wrong with that. Everybody lies. And you hear about white lies, right? Oh, white lie. It's okay. No big deal. But we realize it tells us we got to keep our lips from telling lies. If you want to be happy, you want to enjoy life. That's what the scripture tells us. And you know, my brother who's a pastor in Texas right now, he's been pastoring for like over 20 years. And he told me once that he counseled this couple. It's a married couple that had many problems in their marriage. And said once the truth had been revealed, you know, it was discovered that, you know, that was actually both husband and wife that were chronic liars. I mean, they're telling lies to each other and they were hiding the truth and you know, basically this dark, deep secret came out, and once it's been exposed, you know, it's hard to try to repair the marriage. I mean, trust to be built back in the relationship takes a long time. And, you know, my brother counseled them for, like, years, and they're still together, but you know what? They're at each other's throats still. And he said it's because of the lies. And my brother keeps telling them, you can't be lying to one another. This will only create more hardship in your relationship. You will never learn to trust each other. But that's what we got to understand. That scripture clearly tells us. You want to have a happy life, you got to refrain. You got to stop lying. Speak the truth. And God, He will honor you. God will bless you. Well, let it be here. It says deceitful words. Romans 16:18. It says there, such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. And you know, who likes to hear positive words from others? We all do, don't we? Because it helps us. It boosts up, you know, our self-esteem. But you know, if a person is always gushing out praises to you, imagine every time you show up at a place, or maybe whether it be at church or work, and the person comes right to you, "Oh, Ben, you're looking so good. Oh, you're so smart. And I tell you, you're the best thing that ever happened in this world." And they keep gushing out. How would you feel? I mean, constantly. You go, "Okay, that's enough for it, you know. That's okay. I don't need to hear all that." You know, but that's the thing. Some people, they just do that, and it's nonstop. And even in cases, I actually been through where, you know, a situation where this person always loved to give praise. And I thought, thank you. But, you know, they're always like saying all good things, right? But even when I'm feeling terrible or I'm feeling sick or something, and I know I don't look good and I don't feel good, but the person comes up to me, "Ben, you're looking so good." "Oh, really? I don't feel so good." and you kind of go, "Wow, I wonder what he wants from me." and the thing is, yeah, we are to praise people, but, you know, don't overdo it. You know, because people are going to go, "Wow, do you really need to do that?" And I remember people would come up to me and say, "You know what? You know, one guy said, Pastor, you're doing such a great job. You know, I tell you, what you're doing is super awesome. And I just want to tell you, you're so good." And I said, "Oh, praise God." And the person told me, "Don't praise God, praise yourself." I said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that." "No, you better praise yourself. It's okay." I said, "No, I can't do anything without the Lord." I said, "With God, I can do all things through His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength." And, you know, so what I'm trying to tell you, just, you know, let you realize it's okay to praise, but just don't overdo it. Well, number two here, it says speaking evil of others. And sometimes as Christians, I got to tell you, we think we have a right to talk bad about people because they don't have the same ideals or ideas as we have, you know. Or sometimes it may be in the case of a leader, you know, they're very immoral. And so we get upset at them and say, "Oh, what's wrong with that leader?" Look what it says there, Exodus 22, 28. It says, "Do not blaspheme God," or what does it say there? "Curse the ruler of your people," or the leader of your people, right? And you know, sometimes I hear a believer saying, "You know what? I hate that leader. That leader is an idiot." You know? Oh. And you know, they may say, "Oh, because this leader made this decision and he wants to do this, he wants to do that." Well, you know what? We're never in a situation where we're excused, you know, to speak, you know, harshly about someone. Because look what it says here in Matthew 5:22. Jesus says, "But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment." You see that? It says, if you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you, what it says there, curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. I heard Christians say, "I'm praying that this person will die." Really? Is that the kind of prayer God would honor? No, don't pray that kind of prayers, brothers and sisters. So instead, what should we do? Well, the scriptures tells us. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 2:1-2. It says there, "I urge you, first of all, to what? Pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for who? Kings and all those who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." So we're to pray for them. And I know some people say, "Oh, no, you cannot pray for that person. That person, oh, is too evil." Well, who's greater, God, or let's say that demonic spirit in that person? God is greater. You pray for that person. You say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak the blessings of God upon this person. I speak, Father, that you will touch this person's heart so the person will make the right decision." You see that? It's powerful when you pray like that, because it's showing that you're humbling yourself. You see that? And as you humble yourself, God will honor you. God will bless your life. Amen? Well, let us see here. It says the careless talker. The careless talker. And it's for the person who overuse their words. You know someone that talks too much? Look what it says here. Well, letter A, the person who speaks too often and too hastily. And Proverbs 10:19, this is what it says. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Well, this is what it says in the Bible. Keep your mouth shut. And sometimes we need to hear it in a harsh way because it kind of wakes us up and says, yeah, I got to keep my mouth shut. I got to zip the lip sometimes. And you know, in the scene from Wizard of Oz, you guys know that movie, right? Dorothy finds herself in the strange and mysterious land of Oz. And on her journey, she encounters a talking scarecrow. And they enjoy this exchange of words. The scarecrow says, I haven't got a brain, only straw. And Dorothy says, how can you talk if you haven't got a brain? And the scarecrow says, I don't know. But some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they? And Dorothy says, yes, I guess you're right. Isn't it true? Sometimes when we just talk, sometimes our brain just shuts off. You ever been, I tell you, I've been there. My brain just shuts off and next thing I know, hey, what am I saying? You ever been in a situation like that? Hey, why am I saying that? That's not nice words. And then I go, okay, shut up, mouth, you know? And I gotta tell myself, stop. I gotta walk away. Because sometimes a mouth has a mind of its own. Do you agree with me? And sometimes we gotta control it. And you know, it's wise advice from this scripture. It says, it basically tells us sometimes it's better to keep our mouth shut because our words, we know it can get us into big trouble. Look what it says in James 1:19. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to listen. In other words, keep your mouth shut and listen. Because when you start to listen, you can't be talking when the other person is talking, right? That's kind of rude, first of all. You don't want to do that. You're not going to know what the person is saying. So listen. Be more of a listener than a talker. And then that way you get the heart of what that person is trying to say to you. You know, according to Miami Herald newspaper, there's this guy, his name is Patrick Snape. He's 69 years old, and he was a headmaster at this school called a Gulliver Preparatory School in Miami. And he was there for several years, but in 2010, the school didn't renew his contract. So Snape sued his former employer for age discrimination, and he won a settlement of $80,000. And this was in November 2011. And you know, however, the agreement contained a standard confidentiality clause. And it basically prohibited Snape or the school from talking about the case. And here's the thing. However, Snape's daughter, who is a college student, her name is Dana. I don't know if you heard about this. She goes to Boston College and she works part-time at Starbucks. She couldn't resist bragging about the case on Facebook. And you know what she wrote on Facebook? She says, Mama and Papa Snape won the case against Gulliver School. She wrote, and Gulliver is now officially paying for my vacation to Europe this summer. And then she makes a derogatory remark. Well, you know how news travels so fast on the internet, right? And it wasn't long before the authorities were made aware of these comments, and Snape was promptly relieved of his $80,000 settlement. He had to take it away. And you kind of think about it, you go, oh, you see, the very fact is we understand that, first of all, she didn't really say anything, but she wrote it on the internet. You know, you heard the saying, a rolling stone gathers no moss. Well, how about this one? A closed mouth gathers no foot. Because we can stick our foot in our mouths. And we say something and suddenly, phew, we may have had a blessing and now it's gone. And nowadays, there is something worse than a constantly open mouth. You know what it is, right? It's the internet. And I got to tell you know, with Facebook and all that stuff, man, this is the biggest mouth in the world because it can go viral. You ever heard the word viral? In just a matter of minutes, your personal information can be put out there throughout the whole world. I mean, thousands of people will know about your personal information in just a few minutes. And you may not have put it there. Someone, you know, a relative or a friend, say, oh, I want to just share this with people. And suddenly, thousands of people know about your personal secrets. So we got to be careful of that because there's danger in the internet. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, we got to realize it's not just about word of mouth anymore. You know, the internet can be a dangerous tool for us to really not be careful of it. I mean, it can ruin lives. Well, number two here, it says the person who misuse their words. And letter A here, it says rash oaths. Rash oaths. And you know what oaths are, right? Promises, right? And look what it says there in James 5:12. It says, but most of all, my brothers and sisters, never, what does it say? Take an oath. By heaven or earth or anything else, just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. Wow, do not take oaths. You know, just imagine the person that makes an oath with God. Imagine this person saying, Lord, oh, if you get me out of this big mess I'm in, I promise that in return I'm going to give you 75% of my wealth. I'm going to become a missionary and devote my whole life in preaching your word in third world countries. And let's say God answers the prayer and God reminds him, hey, what about that promise you made? And just imagine that person saying, oh, come on, Lord, you knew I wasn't serious. Wow. Because we make it light promises, light oaths, like, oh, it's not a big deal. But you got to realize, you know, when we say something where we say, we promise, Lord, you got to be careful because it tells us, do not make these kinds of oaths, because if you don't follow through, if you really meant it, if you wholeheartedly said, I'm going to follow through with that, Lord, if you do this, then okay. But you know what? If you don't follow through, oh boy, it says you may be condemned. And you know, we got to stop saying to people, you know, when people help us and they do us a big favor, sometimes we may say, oh man, I owe you my life. Who does your life belong to? To God. And you may say, oh, I didn't really mean that. But we got to realize you said it. And we don't owe people our lives. You know, our lives belong to Jesus Christ. And we just say, thank you. That's all. It says yes or no. Just say thank you. You're so nice or whatever, right? Don't say, oh, I owe you my life. But let us see here. It says filthy and unwholesome words. And Ephesians 5:4, it says here, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. And you know, sometimes in a work situation, I've been there, right? We're non-Christians, and they just love to tell these dirty jokes, and you know, they know that if I'm there, they're not going to do it in front of me, because I already told them, you know, I'm not going to listen. A lot of times I walk away. But they go, oh, come on, man, no big deal, it's funny. I said, no, I just don't want to listen to that. And the very important thing about this is, you know, when you show them that I'm serious about my faith, you know, I'm not going to let, you know, dirty talk affect my heart. And it's not that I'm better or anything. I just don't want this to affect my relationship with God. Because it will. Because if you fill your mind with all these dirty jokes, and you're going to start thinking about it, and just walk away and say, no, thank you. You know, in Ephesians 4:29, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. It says, let everything you say be, what? Good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. You know, I remember reading about this Hell's Angel biker that received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was so happy. He was so ecstatic. He knew that Jesus is alive. And he's alive in his heart. So he attended this church Bible study. And when the pastor asked for a volunteer to pray, he's really new at this, right? This is like his first time in the Bible study. He quickly raised his hand. And his prayer went something like this. Hey, to the big man upstairs. I just want to tell you, I'm so bleep. A bleep is an expletive, okay? Every time I say bleep. I am so bleeping glad to be here. These people are some bleeping great people. And I'm so bleeping happy that I have found you. Bleep. I know I'm starting to bleeping change already, and I'm bleeping loving it. You know, when he opened his eyes, everyone was looking at each other with eyes wide open. And you know, later the pastor, who is really kind and understanding, talked to him later and said, "Oh, brother, I have no doubt that, you know, you pray from your heart. But please remember, this is a church. It's a family church. And a lot of children here." And you know, the biker says, "Oops, I'm so bleeping sorry." Oops. And you got to understand, it took a little while, but months later, you got to understand, God changed his heart. And when God changed his heart, his mouth was cleansed also. As his heart was cleansed, his mouth was cleansed. And now he's uncomfortable when he hears curse words. You know, he just walks away. "Oh, I can't. I don't want to hear that." And you know what? We as people of the church, we got to understand, you know, when people come in, they're new in this relationship with God. I know some Christians say, "Hey, you just curse. Shame on you." No. Oh, imagine when you first became a Christian. You know, was it easy for you? I mean, if you had a bad mouth and all that. I mean, be sensitive. Be patient with the brother. And as you continue to witness Christ to him, guess what's going to happen? His heart's going to change. When his heart's going to change, so does everything else. His words, his mouth. You know, so let's be patient with one another, all right? And realize, hey, just remember when you first became a Christian, you know, it takes some time for the Lord to let his words sink so deeply in your hearts. Then comes the change. And you know what? There are also what we call euphemisms. You see in your notes? You see that word euphemism? E-U-P-H-E-M-I-S-M-S. And what is a euphemism? It's an inoffensive expression substituted one considered to be offensive. I'm going to give you some examples of this. Darn. Where do you think the word darn comes from? D-A-R-N. It comes from the word damn, right? Or shoot. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that one. Or gosh. Or geez, right? Think about gosh. Oh, gosh. Actually, it came from God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah, that's where it came. And think about it. Jeez. What does that sound like? Jesus. And sometimes, oh, no, that can't be. Oh, yeah, that's where it came from. And sometimes when we use it like that, because we substitute it, right? It's a euphemism. We substitute it thinking, oh, it's okay. But you know what? The heart behind it, it has the same wrongful emotion. That's the problem with it. Because you think, oh, but I'm not actually saying God or saying Jesus. But you know what? It's the emotion behind it. It's still like you're blaming God. You know? Oh, gosh! You know what? Who are you pointing that to? Think about this for a second. And you know, they reflect an attitude contrary to the spirit of Christian conduct. Look what it says in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types." Everyone say all types. All types of evil behavior. "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." And we got to realize all types, meaning even in the lesser forms. You know what I'm saying? Because, oh, it's not offensive, but you know what? What is the heart behind it? I know Brother Carr asked me this question yesterday. Because sometimes, you know, when we are on the road, right? You see an ambulance, you know, they're putting someone into their ambulance. And you go, oh, Lord. Oh, God. You know, is that wrong? You know, because we're expressing something that's in our heart. Right? Oh, Lord, I'm going to pray for that person. You have concern. You see, that's not using the name of the Lord in vain. It's when you're pointing to God as one that you're blaming. Oh God, why did you let that person get? That's different. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. All right? When you kind of like pointing and saying, "Your fault, Lord, look what you did." Don't do that. Yeah? But we can say, "Oh God." You know, it's from heartfelt emotion. That's different, right? It's when you use it in a way that it's not pleasing to God. It's not honoring to God. You know what I mean by that? All right. Well, let's look at letter E here. The gracious talker. The gracious talker. And number one here, it says, whose speech leads to edification and extends grace to others. Look what it says here in Galatians 4:6. It says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. And basically, we are to let our words be positive and genuine. We're not to use fluffy and phony words, because we want the person to feel blessed. We want to encourage them. And sometimes, you know what I mean, right, by fluffy words? It's hollow words. It's words that you know aren't genuine. And sometimes we want to say because we want to help the person out, but it's not truly from our heart. And so usually a person will know, oh man, I don't know. You know, it's just like, what do you want from me? You know, sometimes you might think like that. And we got to use words that are genuine, you know. And we all know that expressing our gratitude to other people for whom which we are thankful for is a good thing for them, right? Because if we express our gratitude to someone, they say, oh, thank you. They feel good about themselves, right? But we may not have realized that it is also good for us as well. You know, in one study, a researcher at the University of California, Riverside, they had people write letters expressing thanks for someone who had a positive impact on them. And, you know, some actually sent their letters to the person. Others kept their letters privately to themselves. And you know what? This is what they found in the study. It says that those who shared their letters experienced a strong mental health benefit to them other than those who just wrote the letter and kept it to themselves. And you know, the ones that sent it out, they felt positive. They felt good. They felt like, oh man, I did a good thing. And so we realize, yeah, it will affect us too. When we can show gratitude, not just to people, but also to God, it affects something on the inside. Your soul is just refreshed. You know, so let's make it a point to really be gracious to others and show gratitude to our Father God. Because look what it says here in Proverbs 11:25. It says, whoever brings blessings will be enriched. You want to be enriched? It says, and continues on, it says, and one who waters will himself be watered. What does it mean to water someone? Well, think about this. If you were to water a plant that looks very thirsty, it looks like it's kind of starting to shrivel up there, and you pour water on it, what happens to the plant? It starts to bloom. It starts to come alive, right? And we realize when we can water people, how do we water them? With our words. We say nice things, encouraging words to them. It says, if you will water them, you yourself. It says, he himself will be watered. Guess who you're going to be watered by? By God. Right? And so, when we make it a point to encourage others, guess what? God's going to bless you. God's going to let his spirit be poured forth upon you. So let's make it a point to be people that encourages others, edify others, not bring them down, but to lift them up. Amen. Well, other ways our words can bless others. And I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. And it's in your notes, but I just got the scripture reference, okay? Well, Proverbs 15:1 here, it says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. So we know our words can cool down someone. When we're in a heated conversation, just you giving a gentle answer. Because it's hard sometimes. If someone's yelling at you, what is your problem? You know, and imagine, you just say, oh, I don't have a problem. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean any. Because if you were to yell back at that person, I don't have a problem. What's your problem? I mean, you're going to have a fight right there, right? But I tell you, try it. Just a gentle answer. Oh, I didn't mean any. You speak like that, suddenly that person, they're going to start shutting down too. They're going to start calming down. So it's how we react. And then Proverbs 12:25 here, it says, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. So we know our words can comfort the anxious people. You know, when they're worrying, they're pacing, and we just say something like, oh, God is in control. We know what to say, right? Don't worry. God's going to take care of you. You know, just sometimes just these words alone can really just comfort your spirit. And then it's like a reminder, oh yeah, God, he never lets me go. And suddenly you're calm. And suddenly you're at peace. You know what I'm saying? And then In Proverbs 15:4, he says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." And we realize our words can delight those who hear it. You know, it says we're like a tree of life, our words, if we speak it in a way that, you know, encourages the person. And Proverbs 15:13, it says, "Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time." And isn't it true that, you know, you could have been feeling so down, feeling so hurt, but a person comes along and just says the right thing, the exact thing you needed to hear, and suddenly, your head just goes up. Yes, you're right. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's what it is. Just the person saying the right thing at the right time. And so we got to be those ones to say those right things at the right time and encourage one another. But look at the next point here. Roman numeral 2 is steps to better talking. Letter A here, it says to guard your what? Heart. And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And you gotta ask yourself, what does it mean to keep your heart with all diligence? Because, you know, what we gotta understand is sometimes our heart can go the wrong way. Because sometimes we think, oh, but there's people watching, oh, there's like peer pressure. And you know what you have to say, but you're afraid that if you say something, someone's going to judge you. Say something's gonna, someone's going to say something unkind about you. And you go, oh, okay. So you let your heart go, and you say something that is in line with everyone else. You know what I'm saying? And then you go, oh, man, why did I say that? And the scripture tells us, keep your heart with all diligence. No matter what, you know what is right. According to the word of God, you stick to it. Amen? God will honor you. With all diligence, keep your heart. Because once your heart goes, so will your mouth. You see that? And so we got to be careful. We keep our heart in check. And it says, out of it springs the issues of life. And you know, you want to have major issues in your life, just let your heart go. And just let your mouth just speak whatever it wants. You're going to be in big trouble. You know, remember this. Who's in your heart? Jesus, right? The Bible says, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, He resides in your heart. So don't ever let go of your heart. Even if there are other people around you that you know, are not believers, and they're looking at you, maybe like a pack of them, maybe like 6 or 7 of them, they're looking at you. Always remember, keep your heart diligent. Always speak the right things, according to what you know what Jesus would want you to say. And that's where, as we live the Word of God, I tell you, you're going to be blessed. You're going to see how God is so pleased with your life. Look what it says here in Proverbs 16:23. It says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Just kind of think about that for a second. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. It's the heart that tells the mouth, hey, shouldn't say that. Your heart is the one that's going to say, oh, you should say this. Encourage the brother. The brother looks kind of down. Say something. It's your heart. Your heart is directing your mouth. And if you are wise in the ways of the Lord, you're going to hear your heart speaking at all times. It's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. You see that? And it says it adds learning to his lips. And suddenly, you're going to know what to say. It's not going to be something where you're going to have to think about it. When you have the Word of God so deep in your heart, you're going to know what to say when you need to say it. And that's why it's so important to not be swayed. Amen? Always use your heart as a means of saying the right things. You know, you probably heard of the saying, right? Garbage in, garbage what?
Out,
right? Whatever goes in, you know, has to come out. And that's why we got to be careful what we allow into our heart and minds. We got to be selective of what we watch in our TV sets and in the theaters and what you read. Because guess what? Once it comes in, right? You think, oh, it's okay, just a few cuts, whatever, right? PG-13. But you know what? It goes in. Guess what? It's going to come out. Garbage in, garbage out. And suddenly, you may have said a cuss word. Oh, why did I say that? And your kids are like, Daddy, what did you say? I go, oh, I don't know. You ever had this happen to you? You go inside a drugstore or something, and I remember I went inside, I think it was Walgreens or something. I heard this song, you know, I forget the name of the song, it was a song by Madonna or something, you know, and you sing it, right? And then, you know, what's that? Oh, Gloria, Gloria, whatever, right? And then you start singing it. And then, you know, my daughter said, Daddy, what are you singing? I'm singing, aren't I? You know, go, I don't know, what am I singing? You know, and we realize, sometimes it just goes into our mind, yeah? And then you kind of don't realize you're saying it or singing it. So that's why it's so important, you know? We got to reject these things because it will affect your soul. It will affect your spirit because if you keep on watching these things, suddenly you're saying things that you're not realizing you're saying it. So we got to be careful of those things because it can truly affect us. Look at letter B here. It says, guard your lips. It says, Proverbs 13:3. It says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have what? Destruction. And basically, it's for the person just opens their mouth wide open and just let the words come out. And say, if you don't guard your lips, you just let whatever comes out of your mind or out of your heart, right? And you just don't think about it. It says you're going to have destruction. And Proverbs 21:23, it says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. And you know our soul, right? That's where all our emotions are. Whether you're happy, you're sad, you're mad, or whatever. And you know, it says you're going to keep your soul from trouble. If you guard your mouth, you always think, oh, should I say that? And you know what? Better yet, say, Lord, should I say that? Instead of asking yourself, should I say that? Say, Father, should I say that? And as you do that, you're going to know exactly what you need to say. And you're going to keep yourself out of trouble. And it's funny, you know, my father-in-law, you know, I love it. He always says this to his children. He says it to me too. You guys probably even heard him say that. He says, less talk, less mistake. No talk, no mistake. And you got to understand, my father-in-law, you know, John Lee's dad, is a very quiet man. But I got to tell you, he's a very happy one. You know, you can see a big smile on his face. He knows that, hey, his words can get him in trouble. And even though he's quiet, you can tell he's very happy. And so we got to realize, you know, we can take from his example and make it a point, less talk. Sometimes the less words are the better. We just say the words that are from our hearts, you know. Instead of saying frivolous words, say, okay, is this a word that is from my heart? Is something that Jesus would want me to say? Then say it. And then, whoosh, that's it, period. Don't need to say anything more. Because you just express what's in your heart. And sometimes, yeah, less words, less mistake. No talk, no mistake. Okay, well, let's look at letter C here. It says, think before you speak. Right in that blank, think before you speak. Proverbs 15:28, it says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Just think about that. It says the heart. It doesn't say the mind, right? Because usually when you think about thinking, it's the mind that thinks, right? But it says here in Proverbs, the heart of the godly thinks carefully. And remember, Jesus resides in your heart. So think with your heart. You got to think with your mind too. Don't get me wrong, but think with your heart. In other words, ask yourself, what would Jesus want me to do in this situation? That's the way we are to think as Christians. Think with your heart, and God will show you the way. You know, there's this American author in the 1900s. His name is Napoleon Hill. And this is his statement. He says, think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another. And either you're going to lift that person up or shut them down. And I have to tell you, you know, like great evangelists, you know, like Billy Graham, like that, they'll say, you know what? It was the encouraging words that I received from my pastor or from my friends, my loved ones, that had elevated me to do greater things for God. I got to tell you, Our words have the power to lift someone up or just bring them down. And we gotta remember that, and we gotta use words that will edify people, not bring them down. And then letter D here, it says, pray about your speech. In Psalm 141:3, it says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And the psalmist is clearly telling the God, oh, put a guard. Just imagine a guard just marching around to and fro where your lips are. And just imagine, you know, he's guarding the door of your lips. And that guard, you check with that guard first. Just imagine this guard, you know, you see the guard just pacing back and forth like this. It's kind of funny, I know, but, you know, just imagine this guard's going back and forth. And you say, oh, guard, is it okay for me to say that? Some people are going to think you're crazy, but it's okay. You know, just in your mind, let's say, should I be saying that? And imagine this guard is the Holy Spirit of God. And he's going to say, okay, you may open the door. Or just keep that door shut. Right? And that's where you're going to be held accountable. You're going to be kept safe from the words that may come out of your mouth that may hurt someone. And Psalm 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we got to realize, you know, as the psalmist pray this prayer, every word should be acceptable to God. Just think about this. What I'm saying, acceptable to the Lord. And as you speak with grace and kindness to others, I tell you, you're going to be blessed. Because God, I got to tell you, you're going to almost feel the smile of God upon you as you speak edifying words to your brothers and sisters. Well, the bottom line verse here, it's in Proverbs 18:21. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You got to understand, what you say with your words can bring forth either life or death upon yourself or another person. Really, you got to understand, this is what the scripture says. Your very words can have the power over life and death. And sometimes it can bless or harm the other person, even if the person is not there, the person is not listening. It's the very fact, something happened. I believe it's just like, it's a spiritual thing. As you speak words of either blessing or death, something happens in the spiritual realm. You have to believe that, because that's what the scripture tells us. And we can't be careless with our words, because sometimes I'll hear people say, oh, I'm good for nothing, and nothing good can ever happen in my life. Stop that. That's curses that you're putting upon yourself. You know, I remember Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope. You know what he said? I remember in one of his sermons, he said, the reason why Jewish boys grew up to be exceptional people, you know, exceptional scientists, engineers, and doctors, and all kinds of different professionals, right? The reason why they become so successful is because their mothers always spoke blessings upon them since they were very young. They'll say things like, one day, Junior, you're going to be someone great and famous. Maybe you'll find the cure for some incurable disease. Or you're going to make Mama and Papa so proud of you. You are so good, and we are so proud to call you our son or our daughter. And you know, most of the children, they grow up to be very successful. Did you know that? And then Pastor Wayne says, however, for the Portuguese parent, this is what he said. He's Portuguese, you know. Or he says, for the Portuguese, that's what he says. He says, they tell their child, hey, don't get smart. And he says, that's why he didn't. And here's the thing, though. We got to realize, we got to always speak edifying words to our children, whoever it is, right? Because it will affect them. Because, like, sometimes even for Benson or Abigail, I just say something really positive. I'm so proud of you, son. I just see how they just lighten up, you know? And for us too, right? It's like, oh, great job. Thank you so much, you know? Wow. You know, it just affects you on the inside. And you know, I want to tell you about this man. I don't know if you heard of him. His name is Pete Maravich. He's a professional basketball player. And he was really popular in the 1970s. And he played for the Atlanta Hawks, and later he played for the New Orleans Jazz. You guys heard of him, right? Pete Maravich. And he was given the nickname Pistol Pete. You guys know him, right? And because he was such a sharp shooter. He was averaging like 30 points a game. Sometimes one game he averaged like, I think like 50 points or more. And, you know, at the age of 30, he was asked by a reporter what his future plans were for the NBA. And you know what he said? He said he didn't want to play 10 more years and then die of a heart attack when he's 40. That's what he told the reporter. Well, guess what? He did end up playing 10 more years in the NBA, and guess what happened? At the age of 40, he died of a heart attack while playing with his friends in the gym. And you all, coincidence. What the scripture tells us, our very words have the power over life and death. So we gotta stop putting curses upon ourselves. Because you don't believe me? Just do it. Speak blessings. Every day. Don't say, oh, it was only going to get worse. No, say, it's only going to get better. Because my Father, God's hand is upon my life. I am blessed. I am totally cherished by my Father God, and my family is blessed. Say those things. Keep saying it. Don't put curses upon yourself. Because it will happen if you constantly speak these kinds of curses. I got to tell you, I got to share something with you. You know, several years ago, my brother-in-law, June, you guys know June, right? You know, he told me that, you know, there's his father that had asked him to come and pray for his son. And the thing is, he doesn't even know this man. He was just talking to someone else about the power of prayer. And this guy said, you know what, can you pray for my son? He's in his 20s and he's in a coma. And you know, he's been in this condition for like 3 weeks. And basically the doctor says, you know what, there's nothing we can do. You know, he's in this coma state. And if you want to call a pastor or priest or whoever, you know, call them because there's nothing we can do for your son. And so, you know, June calls me up and says, Ben, can we pray for this person? I said, well, I never prayed for someone who's in a coma. You know, God, if he can do anything, let's just go and we'll trust in God. So we got there. I remember his fiance was in the room. And we just, you know, just prayed a prayer of faith. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we speak the healing power of heaven to come forth upon, his name is Ricky, upon Ricky in Jesus' name. Life of Jesus, come forth. Come and fill Ricky so that he may rise from the dead. Guess what happened? Nothing. And so, okay, let's continue to pray. So we pray, Father in heaven, we speak life upon Ricky. In Jesus' name, we speak that your life will just come in and fill his soul, that he will come back alive. And we looked at him, and guess what happened? Nothing. And so we went to the fiance, and we just shared with her. We said, you know what? We sense God's presence was strong in this room. And said, you know what? Can you do one thing? And I asked her, can you just speak the life of Jesus upon your fiancé? The resurrection power and life, speak it upon your fiancé. And say, even when we leave, after we leave, can you just speak that upon him? I said, yeah, I can do that. I'll do that. So I remember going back to the car. I'm talking to June. And I said, June, did you just feel the strong presence of God in that room? Yeah, I did, Ben. Something happened. Yeah, I know. I feel it too. So the next day comes, right? He calls me up. And I think it was after church. Yesterday I said it was in church, but actually I remember, I think I was at Don Quixote, now that I remember it. And he called me up and he goes, Ben, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? The dad just called. I said, yeah, what happened? He said, when he walked into the room early in the morning, his son was up at the bed. He turned on the TV and was watching TV. Praise God! I mean, right, I remember I was at Don Quixote. I was like, praise God! Everyone think I was nuts or something, but it was okay. I didn't care. God just did a miracle. Oh, praise God! And he says, get this, Ben. The father just told me, you know, it's a Filipino family, right? Big family. He said that aunties, uncles, I don't know how many people, 20, 30 maybe people, were in that room. It says some of them were believers, some of them were not. All of them had their hands raised up and praising God. I tell ya, it's powerful. When you speak life, just imagine if you can speak this very same life upon yourself, upon your family, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in you. Just imagine how your life will be. if you can just speak this life upon yourself, as you live that faith that is true to God, as you speak the life of Jesus upon yourself, just watch, every area in your lives will be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
You have to believe this, because this is what the Word tells us. Our words have the power over life and death. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead? I just want to share one more thing. Oh, this is so good. I think it was like after like a week later, I went to visit the guy again, Ricky. And I said, "Brother," and he kind of looked at me. He still could, you know, not talk so well, because imagine, you know, weeks, you know, his muscles became all weak and stuff. And I said, "Brother, we prayed for you, and God healed you." And he says, "Praise God." You know, he said, "Yes." And you know what? Soon thereafter, he went home. You know, I think like a couple of days later, he was home and he's doing well now. I want you to understand, this is the power of God. Only God can do this. Amen? And as we trust in Him, we believe in Him, watch, God, He will raise the dead to life. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that was spoken. And Father God, we truly know the power of our words. And Father, if we have been speaking curses upon ourselves, Father, we choose no more to speak these words, because we know, Lord, we can bring a cursing upon ourselves and upon our families and even upon our friends. Father, forgive us. We repent, Lord, of all those words we have said that have truly put a curse upon ourselves. And Father, we choose from this day forward to speak blessings, only blessings that You can bring forth in our lives, as we trust, Lord, that You will just bring forth Your goodness upon our lives as we trust in You. And if you're saying to our Father God right now, "Lord, I'm that one that will no longer speak these curses, but will speak life, the power, resurrection, and life of Jesus to be upon myself and upon my family." And if you make it a point to say, "Yes, Lord, I will only speak blessings. I'll only speak words of edification to bring others up, not put them down." If you have made a decision, you're going to do that from this day forward. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. You put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the heart behind those hands saying, "Lord, forgive me, Lord, for all those times I said all these negative words. I'm only going to choose to say words that will just bless myself and bless all the people around me." Father, help me to be a person that will speak words that will bring life. I'm going to be a life giver, not a life drainer. I'm going to be a life giver as I speak Your words. Father, I just pray, Lord, as we have made this decision, Father, help us. And Father, we're going to see the blessings overflowing in our lives as we choose to be a person to speak, Lord, words that build up, not shut down. We praise You, God, for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, "You know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started?" Well, the first thing you can do is pray a simple prayer, but you must express it from deep within your heart. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, oh, don't resist, because He loves you. And He wants you to come to be a part of His family. Because the Bible says, if you deny Him, He will deny you. But if you accept Him, He will accept you into His family. So if you're ready, the Lord is tugging at your heart. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. So if you're ready, you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, can you just raise your hand right now and say, "That's me. I want Jesus in my heart, in my life." Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. All right. Won't you put your hands down? Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together. And as you pray this prayer, mean it from your heart. Just repeat after me. Say, "Father God, I need You, and I give You praise for who You are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Give a clap offering. Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.
Give a prayer.